The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut shaming podcast.
No, you haven't said.
I'm Christina Hutchins.
I'm Corinne Fisher.
And I'm fuck your boyfriend. Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes. Okay.
Let's talk about
fucking. Hi, fuckers. How you doing? How you been? You okay? I hope so. Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's the anti-slut shaming podcast. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
Stop. Right now.
Thank you very much.
You're going to go. Oh, yeah, that's good. You're going to go to youtube.com/guyswefucked without the U and fucked.
No, you.
You're going to watch our comedy special.
Yeah, you are.
You're going to leave a comment and you're going to also subscribe to the YouTube page.
There's going to be a lot of content.
So much content. We're recording a couple weeks in advance, but this week we will be uploading. You asked for it. You got it.
Oh, what?
More free
what?
Content.
More? What is
free,
it?
Free full episodes of full video.
What?
Guys, we fucked.
What?
You're going to get to see us in all our glory.
Yep.
Sometimes we look great. Sometimes we look
a lot of times we don't. Sometimes we talk too quickly because we drank too much caffeine and you don't see it until later after you watch the video and you get embarrassed and you're like, you know what? I just got to live with that.
It's incredible. You can see us bullying our guy. No, only male guests. Only a couple.
Some people
be like, you bullied your guests. I'm like, you really don't understand the dynamic of being a comedian. Literally don't get it. The way we talk with our friends. Can you imagine
we roast each other.
Can you imagine if we watched how you talk to your friends that you've known for years? I'm like, I don't like the dynamic there. Shut the fuck up.
We're fine. We're
They're
good.
Being mean to the boys. Yeah, you know, it's a big problem. Female comedians bullying male comedians.
Oh, they can't handle it.
It's a big issue in the community. Everyone's marching about it.
It really holds the men back. I feel bad for them. Like, you know what? Maybe we'll change one day, but we probably won't.
Did they say anybody specifically?
Tom Cassidy.
That's what I figured it was.
Yeah.
What? And I was like, he just, but that's the dynamic that he leans into.
Yeah, I was like, because it looks bullied. Like we can flick it over. And also, Tom Cassidy, one of the fastest tongued comedians that there are. Mm-hmm. I was like, Philly, he can give you a tongue lashing.
Yeah. Tom's vibe is bullied. Yeah.
I do remember recording that.
Tom's fucking the streets of Philly. He can fight us.
Yeah, right.
He seems unassuming, and then he comes at you with a fucking quip that you're like, I'm gonna hurt from that for a while.
Yeah.
There were moments I felt Tom was a little on the defensive, but I think that was more of
he's
a Tom
He's playing
problem.
Into it. Yeah. I was like, he's using a manipulation tactic.
Yeah, he does a thing where he goes,
and you all fell for it.
Uh-huh. You know when a guy's gaslighting you and you just go, okay, and he's like, whoa, okay. Yeah. That was what Tom was doing.
Yeah, I was like, this is why you end up sleeping with the people who are on the show and then they don't call you back, guys.
Oh,
I don't know
is
how
that
many times
fault? No, it's
that's
yours.
Gonna happen.
I know you can do what you want with your pussy, but, you know.
It's so funny.
Vet, you know, have some vetting.
If you guys saw what we said in green rooms, you would literally die. So, just.
Yeah, you would. And if you're not a Luminary subscriber, you should be one. I think you should consider it because twice a month we release bonus episodes where we pick the craziest fucked up emails from our inbox. There's so many. It'll never end. There will always be so many. Speaking of which, if you want to email us, it's sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. Today's subject line, should I let my alcoholic and possibly molester dad babysit my kids? I'm going to go with no, but let's see what you have to say.
Right.
Hi, guys. Smiley face. Longtime listener and Luminary subscriber. Thanks, girl. Thanks for all the great content. I often clean my house while listening to your listener email episodes and imagine what y'all would say about all of my problems. Haha. I haven't been able to imagine what you would say about this latest issue in my life, so I thought I might try my odds and see if I can get some real advice from you guys. Fingers crossed emoji. I'm 29, have two kids. I've been with my partner for 9 years. We had our first son 5 years ago when I was taking birth control. Oh,
make sure to tell him that story.
Yeah. Tell him to listen to this podcast later. And decided to keep him despite not being planned.
Oh, leave that part out.
Wow. Yeah. The language is, oh boy. It's like you're in a comedian's green room. We knew we wanted more than one child, and I got pregnant with my second son when my first was 1.5 years old. A little over a year ago, our first son was diagnosed with autism, and currently my second son is going through the evaluation process as well because we are noticing similar signs. Anyway, all this is to say that becoming a mother of two over the past 5 years, and especially to my children with special needs, can be exhausting. Neither of my sons use verbal language, and my husband and I are usually the only people that can understand them. I basically live in my son's energy at all times because I have to use their body language and their own versions of sign language to communicate with them. Side note to any other parents of autistic kids, don't let what society says about autism scare you. Autism is widely misunderstood, and I definitely don't feel like my children are any more of a burden on me than any neurotypical child would be. Yeah, kids in general are a burden. Don't matter if they're autistic. Kids are just hard, period. Exactly. I actually love that my son and possibly sons are autistic because they don't conform to society standards and are free thinkers. Anyway, because of my son's unique needs, I find it very hard to find trustworthy childcare. Mm. Although my family and my husband's family live in the area, they are not willing to help out. I mean, they don't have to, I guess. I understand that it's not their responsibility, but we definitely thought we would have more of a support system when we decided to have our children. My husband is the baby of his family, and his mom was always very active and willing to take care of his nieces and nephews. Now she says she's too tired from being a grandma to her other grandchildren and, quote, doesn't have the energy anymore. She should go to the doctor. Her other grandchildren are not even a year older than our children, and she continues to watch them weekly. Oh, okay. She might not like your kids.
Well, I think people,
or maybe just more.
I think people don't talk about it, but people are scared of taking care of people with special needs. People are literally like scared of people with special needs.
Oh, yeah. Weird.
Yeah.
I was scared of old people when I was a Girl Scout. I was scared to go to the nursing homes.
Yeah.
So I guess that's similar. Who knows? His other sister even recently had a baby, and his mom is willing to watch the new baby. So it leads us to believe it is because of our children's high needs that she isn't comfortable babysitting.
Yeah.
Again, not her responsibility to watch our kids, but it's definitely disappointing, and we thought we'd have more help. My mother is the only person my husband and I both feel comfortable watching our sons, and the only person they seem to not mind being left alone with. However, my younger sister lives with her and has a young daughter as well, so I can tell she's quite burned out. My father lives there as well and often offers to babysit for us. He loves my children and is great with him, and they think he is so fun. However, he is a recovering alcoholic and opioid addict. He has been mostly sober for 10 years, despite a few minor relapses that I know of. I'm still working on the childhood trauma I endured from growing up with a father in the throes of addiction. We were a Mormon family, and my dad completely hid his addiction from everyone besides me. My mom worked nights, so he waited till she left for work and would take us out with him to party and drink. Oh, fuck, that sucks. That's dark. I have so many issues from constantly telling my mom about not feeling safe with him and seeing him drink and her not believing me. Ooh, bummer. She was very much in denial, but he was also very good at being secretly fucked up. There have been many times throughout the years that I get the feeling that he's not sober, and my husband will be like, he seemed fine to me, and later we found out he was on something.
Oh. Yeah, well, then he's not mostly sober for the past 10 years.
Right, exactly. And also, yeah, you can be functioning with opioids. My dad is a great guy who has an addiction and is doing well now. I know he is drug tested periodically at work, and 95% of the time I'm around him, I can tell he is sober, but there is so much doubt and lack of trust. My dad's addiction caused me so much trauma and issues that I'm still working through. I've listened to your podcast for years, and I often listen to true crime podcasts. I've heard a lot about child molestation and people not remembering if they've been molested as children. This has caused me to spiral over the years, wondering, what if something else happened to me as a child and I don't remember it? I've had these thoughts about my brother and a cousin that used to make me kiss him in a closet, and even a creepy uncle who used to tickle me, which leads me to believe I must be just paranoid. And it depends where he tickled you. They can't be all the secret molesters, right? Or at least molesters of me that I forgot.
I would guess that all your family members didn't molest you.
That's well, wild. All of them?
Yeah, I don't think all
I don't
of them.
I don't know though. A lot of people were molested, but and I think fear is a common fear. Anyway, this all came to a head the other day when my husband decided to surprise me by planning a day date for us. Aw. We had already gotten into a fight on the way to drop the kids off at my mom's because I was questioning the childcare plans too much and should just relax, in quotes. Leaving my kids is a huge source of anxiety for me, which is why I hardly ever do it. I know I'm so overwhelmed and need a break, but the break is not even worth it if I'm worrying about my kids the whole time. My husband assured me that my mom and sister would both be watching the kids and they would have ample support. When we arrived to drop them off, my dad was the only one home. Apparently, my sister forgot about an appointment she had and my mom left to visit my grandma. But my dad assured me he was fine to take the kids and that my mom and sister would be back soon. My dad has watched my kids alone by default before for small amounts of time. I would worry, but this time was different. I almost started crying right there. I felt shocked and terrified. That was maybe your gut. I was already upset by the surprise date. I know it was such a nice gesture, but between the OCD and anxiety, I'm a bit of a control freak and I don't like surprises.
Yeah, this is exactly what I was talking about last week with like husbands not knowing their wives at all.
Right, right. Yeah, that's true. There's no way your husband doesn't know this about you. I tried to keep it together and not seem bothered as I didn't want my dad to be offended that I was scared to leave my kids alone with him. On the drive to the restaurant after dropping them off, I had a complete panic attack. I went off my anxiety medications and birth control a few months ago for the first time in years, and I've been struggling with controlling my emotions. I tried to explain to my husband that what if my dad secretly molested me, something I had briefly monitored in the past before, but not went into huge detail about as I never felt super strongly about it. He assured me that he did not get pedophile vibes from him. I mean, that doesn't mean anything. And believes the lack of trust I feel for my dad is just causing me to spiral. I was crying and breathing so hard, my husband pulled over and asked if I wanted to go back to get the kids. I told him I just didn't want to be the dumb bitch who complains about how hard her childhood is, only to put her own children in that very scenario. I know it's different. I know he's sober, but my kids can't speak. They always seem happy when they come home from my parents' house. They never have bruises or act weird. They are always excited to go back. But for some reason, I would just feel better if my mom or sister were there too. Even though my mom enabled him for so many years and put me at risk as a child, I feel like she's more aware now. I truly believe she would step in now. Anyway, when he pulled over, mid-panic attack, I looked up and we were parked under a giant billboard that just read, "Memory loss." I think it was against marijuana, haha. But I thought, what the fuck, is this a sign? My dad loves children and is really good with them. He has social anxiety, hence the addiction, and prefers to hang with the kids at the family parties. I feel like this is a red flag, except that I am the exact same way.
Yeah, I also like to, I'm not fucking kids. I also prefer, I always kids have the
kids'
table. Kids
are more fun to hang out with.
Adults suck.
Yeah, we both will hide out from our big Mormon families by playing in the basement with kids. It's way more fun. I've never gotten creepy vibes from him or seen him overly touchy with any child, but I always go back to everyone saying, oh, we had no idea so-and-so was a child molester. He seems so normal. And it just makes me doubt my own judgment. I used to play naked doctor as a little kid with my friends, which I always thought meant I must have been
no,
molested.
No, we all did that.
I did that too.
Everyone
bitch.
Did that.
I played naked doctor. I played naked husband and wife. I played naked friends. I was naked all the goddamn time.
It's childhood exploration of sexuality doesn't mean you were molested.
But I have learned over the years that this is actually pretty normal. I do have weird memories of my dad bathing my sister and I and washing our private parts with soap and feeling uncomfortable with it as I got older. It's probably because your dad was uncomfortable touching a child's vagina.
Yeah. I mean, like your dad, like your dad wipes you and stuff when you're a kid. And like, yeah, it's every parent's discretion when that stops. And like, I think sometimes maybe they go a little bit older than, you know, you're comfortable with. But like, what is the
they
age
don't know.
For?
Yeah.
I don't really know.
Who knows? Yeah. But after I told him that, he stopped doing it and we would wash ourselves. But I always think maybe there's something more. This is your anxiety getting the better of you. My niece that lives with them currently can talk and has never mentioned any sort of abuse. She actually prefers my dad and runs to him every time she gets in trouble. However, she does suffer from panic attacks and anxiety. As a 4-year-old, I wonder if being secretly molested could be the cause. Oh my God, I'm getting, geez, you sound like my mom. I know that I'm projecting here, but boy, you worry. Your life is being ruined by how much you worry.
And also like, there's no proof of molestation except for, it's like you want,
and you
it's
still
like you
the
want
same
him
body.
To be molested, a molester.
Like, yeah. Yeah, it feels like that would. It feels like you're addicted to the stress hormones that that are produced when you have anxiety. Yeah. I feel like she would tell us, but she is 4, and who knows what kind of thing molesters say to keep their victims quiet. She's not alone with him often, so I do feel more comfortable. But frankly, I just don't know. I've asked her before if anyone has ever made her keep secrets, and she says no. I know it's a thin line to walk. to not lead a child yes. into what you want to hear. So I don't want to press any further. Like I said, I've had these passing thoughts about my brother, my cousins, and an uncle, not just my dad, which makes me think it's more of my own paranoia since it's not solely fixed on him. But the panic attack I had when I chose to leave my kids with him made me worry maybe there's more to it because I never felt so intensely about it that it might be true.
Normally I would say trust your gut, but you can't trust your gut.
Well, you're, yeah, because you're getting triggered and that the trigger has nothing to do with your gut.
Yeah.
The trigger is a body memory. Sorry for the long backstory, but I guess my question is, am I just being paranoid about my dad watching my kids because of my past? Do you think I was secretly molested and don't remember it? Is my OCD causing me to fixate on this non-issue and make it into an issue? Am I being a dumb bitch to leave my kids with two people that fucked me up so much as kids? Is it stupid to believe that my parents have changed over the past 15 years and are actually capable of being good grandparents? Regardless of molestation, is it stupid to leave my kids alone with a recovering addict? If so, how do I tell my dad that I want him to, I don't want him watching my kids alone without completely crushing him? Oh, your anxiety is giving me anxiety. Our relationship is still healing. He once mentioned to my best friend's dad, who told me that it, quote, hurts for him to be around me because of the guilt of what he did is so strong. I am a forgiving person and I don't want my dad to be punished forever because of his addiction. I love him so much and I would like to live in a world where he gets a second chance to prove just how good of a dad he can be by being a great grandpa. I especially don't want to accuse him of being a child molester if he isn't one.
And yeah, don't do that part.
Absolutely no proof that he is. I just don't want to put my kids at risk, especially because they are already more prone to abuse being that they are nonverbal. I know it may be easier for most people to just hire a sitter, but I truly don't trust a stranger that knows nothing about my son's needs to be able to take care of him. I feel like maybe I should just never be away from my kids if this is the risk I have to take. Nope, I don't think so. I already stay at home all day, every day with my kids. I mean, maybe that's what's giving me anxiety. I work a part-time job in the evenings, which helps, but I still don't do anything for me. And there it is. That's why you have so much goddamn space to worry about everything. I just got my master's in elementary education and hopes to become a teacher. And I have already given that dream up to stay home and homeschool my son because the public education system is so fucked. I'm just not sure how much longer I can go without any sort of reprieve. And it would help to hear you say that it's all in my head. Please help a loyal fucker. Girl, a lot of this is likely in your head because you are in a situation that's making you fucking crazy. You're going stir crazy. And the worrying is feeding the worrying. Somebody's got to shake you, take you by the shoulders and just shake you a little bit to make you realize where you are. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Getting stuff off your chest is incredible. It's so therapeutic. We all carry around different stressors. Some of them are big, some of them are small, a lot of them are very big. But we keep them bottled up and it could start affecting us negatively. And then we act like a jerk to the people we love. And we're like, this is not how I want to be. Therapy has saved my life personally. There are so many benefits of it. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. And it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Although if you have experienced major trauma, highly recommend. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designated to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a questionnaire and you get matched with a licensed therapist and you could switch at any time. Finding a therapist is like dating. They're not all going to work out in the first try. BetterHelp understands that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/guys to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/guys. Guys, the weather's getting warmer. It's time to say goodbye to your jackets and all your sweaters, and you got to refresh your wardrobe. Well, luckily, I found Quince, and now you have too, because you're listening to this. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And if you go to their website, the amount of categories, they have travel, lookbooks, men, women, home, babies, and kids. Their stuff is so cute. So I own a couple items from Quince, and one of them is the Italian leather hand-woven crossbody purse in green, emerald, and I get compliments on it all the time. It's a small purse, which I really love because then I don't put as many things in it. Guys, Quince is amazing. They have very luxury items for very cheap prices. Get warm weather ready, baby, with Quince. Go to quince.com/GWF for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/GWF.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Yeah, I can't say for 100% that your people in your family aren't molesters, but it's completely unfounded. And yeah. Quite frankly, it's such a dangerous, like, I'm actually uncomfortable that you even wrote us this email.
Yeah,
because it's such a big accusation to make about somebody based just off of like some kind of a feeling that you have when your gut is not grounded in reality because of your extreme anxiety and obsessive compulsive disorder, which is also anxiety. It's an anxiety disorder.
I would also be mindful of how you're letting yourself get carried away with this possible scenario.
Like when I saw the subject line, I was like, oh, you must have some kind of evidence or know that it happened to you. And it's just like, it's literally out of nowhere. Again,
fear.
There's so many people who have been molested that, I mean, statistically, maybe someone in your family is a molester, but you cannot say that with just because you have like a vision or you've heard a lot of stories about people. I even get nervous about people tapping into like these repressed memories, and I am putting it in quotes because I have a very conflicted relationship with therapy. I mean, I do think some of these therapists, when we get off Zooms with them, go and masturbate to trauma. I really do. Like, they're obsessed with it.
Yeah.
There just can't be this much excessive trauma.
I, Christina Marie Hutchinson, canceled my therapy because it was too fucking much.
I just
stop talking about it.
I actually saw some kind of a meme or a cartoon on Instagram kind of about this topic where our therapists are like, yeah, tell me fucking more about your life.
Yeah.
Like, they fucking love it.
And sometimes they throw suggestions in there. I'm like, well, I wasn't worried about that until you said something.
Oh, I literally just say no all the time. And please know that, like, what you have to remember about therapists is they're also people. They, yeah. No matter
who probably
how,
need therapy a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, and no matter how well they've been trained, they are bringing their own shit and their own bias to the table. It is impossible for a human being to not be biased. Impossible, okay? You know when you make your therapist cry or when your therapist kind of makes a reaction like they're repulsed? All the time.
Whoa.
Yeah. Or you...
Because she likes you, girl.
No, I don't bully her.
I know, like, she's like concerned for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow. That's a close relationship.
Yeah. Well, I think also I have a lot of bad stuff that happened in my life, but I also like I'm handling it better, so it doesn't seem like
right.
I'm just like,
boomer of you.
But I don't know, like, because
you got to just choose to handle.
I'll listen to other people's stories about what they're saying about their lives, and I go, oh yeah, like bad stuff like that happened to me too, but like it just didn't bother me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's not about me. But also too, you do choose to go, okay, I am freaking out about this more than it deserves. I need to overcome it.
Listen, I know it's like a stupid religious magnet, but life has never handed me anything I couldn't handle. So I don't know what to tell everyone. Anyway, back to you. You can also handle this. Okay. So there's a lot of issues going on here. Just stop with the molester stuff. Just put a pin in the molester stuff, baby girl. The
the dad attic thing, I think that's the issue we really need to concentrate on, because you do need a respite from your children. You will not be able to be a good, I know you think you're being the best mother you can be by being around your children all the time, but it's not good for you and it's not good for your children that you're around them all the time. Number one, they need to learn how to be around other people. Just the way like you need to bring your dog to the dog park so it can socialize with other animals. Like mm-hmm. it's very, very important that your children be around other people, especially if they're being homeschooled. They have no interaction with anyone
else.
Oh
my God.
Have you ever met someone who was fucking homeschooled?
Yeah, I'll never forget them.
Never mind autism.
You could spot them from a mile away.
That's the special need. Being homeschooled is far more of a special need than autism. I love to hang out with autistic people. Homeschool people, no thank you.
Hell no.
And homeschool people, feel free to email me. It'll be an alien language. I won't be able to read it.
Yeah. It's going to be in Wingdings or Morse code because you had all that time to learn shit that doesn't really apply to your life.
I also, you're so distrusting of everyone. Like, autism is not a lot of... kids are autistic. So I would like to see the research that you did. I don't know what area you live in. I don't know if you live in a major city, but like it seems like you really quickly made a decision that there is no special needs care that is up to your standards.
Right.
But your standards right now are working yourself to the bone, flushing your dream down the toilet, not trusting anyone else, including your husband. You don't even trust your husband to make proper child care plans. Something's got to give. And listen, again, I'm going to compare this to a dog because it's the only experience I have. I have a lot of anxiety when I leave my dog alone because it's a dog. You can't talk to a dog either. You can't ask a dog what it wants. You don't know what to do with a dog.
You can't tell a dog, don't eat that pill.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm not comparing a dog to an autistic child. That's not what I'm saying. I fucking love my dog so much. So what I'm saying is, like, I have this conversation in my head all the time. At a certain point, you go, I just have to leave my dog with someone else. And if something happens to my dog, I will handle it. It's a risk you take with taking care of another living thing. Yes. Could something happen to your kid? Yes. But something could happen under your own care. Like, that's part of having a child. Something really bad could happen to your child. And like, that's it. It ends there. It's just, it is a possibility.
Yeah.
And you just, as an adult and a parent, you just need to know it is. But like, I don't know that the chances of something happening to your child drastically go up when you leave them with someone else. I really don't believe that to be true. I think people are a lot more capable than you think they are. Also, with your dad, like you say, he's mostly sober for the past 10 years, but then multiple times you and your husband have said, you sense that he's on something. So I need more clarity on that. Is he sober? Is he not? What does mostly sober mean to you?
Yeah.
Because like addicts, I mean, and that's something we certainly have a lot of experience with on this show. Like, addicts really can turn their life around. I know several people who are, and I don't really believe that people can change that much, but I know several people, addicts who are completely different people now that they're sober compared to when they were on substances.
Who are like on heroin, like shooting up motherfuckers.
Right. So what does this mean? I mean, has you ever seen him in a place that was unstable? Is he getting into a car with your children? Because again, like if he's in the home, like, I don't know. I'd just be like, don't boil anything.
No using the stove.
You know? It seems like he does have a lot of regrets. And I know a lot of grandparents who were terrible parents, but good grandparents. Being a grandparent, a lot easier than being a parent.
Way more fun. And my parents are fantastic grandparents.
Yeah.
So my nephew loves my parents and they're kinder to him than they were to us because they're going through less shit and it's not their kid.
Absolutely.
And he's just cute and fun.
Yeah. I've like pretty much never met anyone who's like, I've never even heard someone say like, you had a mean grandma, but
only to me, not my brother.
But like, other than you, I actually never met anyone like, you know, and certainly I've like no grandparents who were mean to the wife or something, but like to the actual grandchildren, like never happened. You know, except for Christina.
And I didn't even care, to be honest. I'm like, that's your problem, grandma.
Yeah. So like, what does sobriety look like? And also, I mean, like some people honestly just like age out of like the partying, the addiction. Like a lot of, I do think a lot of problems that people experience when they're younger kind of just like phase out when they're older. Cause like, what the fuck? Like you just kind of like get out of it.
But you need to concentrate on you. Maybe give your husband a little bit more responsibility. It seems like he's willing to take it, and you're pushing him away.
Yeah.
And that's going to be I honestly think with the behaviors right now, you guys are going to end up getting divorced. I don't want to put more anxiety into your life.
But you need more love and respect between each other, because when you put your oxygen mask on yourself, everybody benefits. But you have to benefit first from it. That's just how it works scientifically. Like, yeah. That's what's going to happen.
Like, you need one night off a week.
Coming from the, so obviously some listeners might know my sister Nicole, the legend.
Nicole grew up, sweetest gal, really.
The best.
Despite what Michael says.
What do you mean? I love my sister so much. She has Down syndrome.
And she's the best.
She's the shit. I love her.
She's
God,
the best.
I love her. I think about her a lot, actually.
Me too. One of my favorite. She's one of my just, favorite
Nicole is a legend
ever.
Of the podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
So Nicole, I mean, I saw a lot of this with my parents growing up, where they truthfully, like, having a kid with a disability, it just is more work.
Sure.
And obviously Down syndrome and autism are a little different, but like my parents, I think that there were times where they felt that other members of the family were not as helpful as they could have been. Mm. The same way she said with other grandchildren.
Yeah, and maybe it's what Corinne said, though, that they're like freaked out by it. Not even saying that. I never thought of that.
Yeah, I think maybe like deep down a little bit.
Everyone has a fear of things that they don't understand, and I don't think people really understand special needs. But you know, I mean, just the same way as people don't understand like anxiety, depression. Like, I mean, I would almost categorize those under like being special needs kids.
Yeah, you have to tend to yourself in a specific way.
Deep anxiety.
Yeah,
it's a same special thing.
Yeah, but you adjust how you relate to them.
Yeah, I just think that there's like in my parents' case, they. You know, they. I think there's an understanding that there's going to be a little bit of extra work with Nicole to try to like get, you know, give her the best possible life that she could have and the care that she could have. But I do think one of the great things that my parents did were kind of take their hands off the wheel a little bit, where they found a school in New Jersey. It's not like it was a big city area, but they found a school in New Jersey that was like, that was able to cater to Nicole.
And New Jersey, actually, people don't know this, but we actually have a really good public education system.
The school was private.
Mm-hmm. I think education in general is just like doing well in New Jersey, people don't know that about us.
Yeah, yeah, well, because we all talk
because they don't think we have anything to offer.
Like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that like they got her involved in Special Olympics. Like Nicole has a very full life, kind of like catered to her special needs. And it is a little extra work to find some of that stuff, but I think that it would be kind of like a weight off your shoulders to find that stuff for your son.
And also tell your husband, give him your husband a little homework assignment and say, hey, honey, can you find a couple options in the area for care? Can you do some research and let's talk about them together?
Yeah, because I think
make
part
him
of
your
what,
assistant in a way.
Yeah, I think part of the success of your family unit is going to be you relinquishing control a little bit because it's too much. You're going to end up smothering your kids. Just because they're autistic doesn't mean you can't smother them.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And a piece of advice that a woman gave, I'm like studying like one-on-one for under Anne Marie, who was a guest on the podcast for a year, and she said something to me that I'm like, oh. Because I think I mentioned at some point that I had like a medium reading and they were like, I think you might have been molested. I'm like, look, if I was, I have the same, I feel the same. I mean, I have the same body that I have if I was or I wasn't. You know what I mean? So it was like, it's an interesting perspective. But one of the things, and I brought it up to Anne-Marie and she was like, you know, just, you know, regardless, like you might never find out and you don't fucking stress yourself out for the rest of your life. That's so unfair. And also if you go through something major, you don't have to freak out. Which is wild. Like when she said that, I was like, wait, what? What do you mean? That means that, what? So I just want to pose that idea to you. You might be addicted to your own stress hormones and you're kind of looking at things to worry about, like the sign, that the billboard that you were parked under when you were in the panic attack. I think you're reaching, as somebody who does that. I think you're reaching. So just know
it's not a movie.
You can figure this out. You can figure out your childcare. You can get your marriage in a place where it's just more supportive and loving without freaking out.
Yeah. And I got to be honest, I think you really need to think about. Yeah. I think you really need to think about getting your kids into a school because I think you're doing yourself a disservice and your children actually a disservice by homeschooling them. You're not a trained autism school provider.
Yeah.
Like
So, you're not a special ed teacher.
That's the word I was looking for. I was like, what? Obviously, I'm not either. I also don't think it's ever in service of your children to give up on your dreams. And that's like a really important thing to remember. So,
because you're going
to
take it out on them if you do. Whether or not you're so cognizant of that, in some fucking way you will. And it's, talk about not wanting to fuck them up. Go after your dreams, boo.
Yeah, and the last thing is there's a lot of telephone going on with you and your father. I know your relationship is still healing, but literally just sit down and say, hey, Dad, I know you know that I had a difficult childhood. I love you. I want you to be a part of my children's lives. But I got to say, like, if it seems like I'm hesitant for you to watch him, don't worry so much about hurting his feelings. He's a grown man. He raised you. He can fucking handle it. Yeah. Say it in a nice way.
Yeah.
Say it lovingly.
Yeah.
But just let him know. Voice it. Just have a private conversation with him. Like, again, like you're going to tell through him, through your mom.
You can take
other
care
people
of these
are going
questions
through.
You have.
Like, you're all the thing. The thing is, like, you never had a conversation with him. He fucking knows what he did. And I think a lot of times just like bringing that conversation to the front of the room is going to ease everybody's anxiety. There's so much whispering and thoughts about things that we really have no proof of in this email. Live your dreams. Find your kids a school. Talk to your dad. I think he can watch them, but again, like, I need clarification on the sobriety thing, because I don't know what the fuck kind of sober means. Does kind of sober mean he goes on a bender once a month? Does kind of sober mean one time you saw him high on weed? I mean, I don't know what this means. But
you can get clarity.
Yeah, but I think you're the one in the most danger in that email. Out of everyone that you're talked, it's you who's
and it's your
experiencing
mind that's
burnout
doing it.
Right now.
Yeah.
And that's fucked up place to be as someone who's in burnout a lot.
When your psyche is neurotic, when our leg is broken, our body tells us because it's painful to walk on it. When something needs to be tended to mentally for you, it shows up as neuroticism. And that's what you're doing right now. So you got to tend to yourself, girl. Tend to your own garden and come see us live. Are you gonna be in London May 12th? Well, good. I'm performing at the Leicester Square Theater. Tickets are pretty much sold out for that, but they might be releasing some same day. And then the following day, May 13th, which is a Friday, I will be in Dublin, Ireland at the Sugarland Club. Please buy tickets at christinahutchinson.com. And as always, my solo podcast, The Voices in Our Heads, is available only on patreon.com/christinahutchinson. Doing ketamine therapy, doing a lot of witch shit, talking to dead people, maybe, who knows. It's a good time.
And without a country, me and Shane Smith tackle the news every week. We tackle the most controversial, interesting top news stories. We talked about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard last week. I know people like to talk about that one a lot. Every Saturday, is on YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube channel too, the Without a Country YouTube channel and the Without a Country Instagram. Again, all free ways to support us, especially if you're not a Luminary subscriber. Hint. And then rate and review Guys We Fucked on Apple Podcasts to keep us in the top 200 of comedy podcasts.
And
honestly, I don't know what's going on there. I'm pretty sure there some people have found a way to like pay or like call a publicist to get them to the top, because I look at some of the top podcasts, including ones we've appeared on, and I go, I don't know that that's the top one, but
I
don't know what's going on there, but what I do know is that the
reviews help.
The reviews help, and they're great, and we appreciate them.
And they keep us being in the charts, allows us to be in front of people who haven't heard us.
Exactly, it's all about discovery. It's not that we like care so much about being in the top 200. It's that if it's not in the top 200, they can't find the podcast.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to look beyond that, and so that's growth comes from discovery. That's what we care about it for. And then again, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube. Even if you've already watched the comedy special, it's youtube.com/guyswefucked without the U in fucked. We have so much content, again, including upcoming full episodes of Guys We Fucked on video and the Dumb Bitch Woo Hour, which is incredible. Our comedy special, comedy clips, so much stuff. You can also find a whole treasury of clips on our TikTok, which is at Guys We Fucked, again, without the U in fucked.
Nice. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So we're basically.
Oh, we don't have time for.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there anything that you had?
I can save it for next time. It's fine.
We can also do it after and just edit it in if we want to do that.
Yeah. Or you can listen to the bonus episodes.
Oh, wow.
And hear how we're doing.
Wow. Oh. We still won't be asking you, Mike. But
I don't care.
Maybe one day.
I'm just here for a chirp.
All right. So this week's guest, she's a stand-up comedian and writer based in New York. She's written for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, The President Show, The Opposition with Jordan Klepper, and her one-woman show, Oh God, a show about abortion, which is produced by Alana Glazer, is playing now through June 4th at the Cherry Lane Theater in New York City. Please welcome to the show, Allison Leiby.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
We're here with stand-up comedian Allison Leiby. We're so excited to have you on the show.
Guys, hello, welcome.
Hello. I haven't seen either of you in so long.
I know. Yeah, I saw you at what's that cool venue in Brooklyn that we just show at?
Oh, yeah.
That fucking...
Good God. What is that?
Young Turks.
Caicos.
Whatever.
It's Turks Inn.
The Turks Inn, yes.
It looks like a Wes Anderson place.
Yeah. Such a cool place. Was that before the pandemic?
No, that was after.
It was after.
Yeah.
I don't remember anymore.
Time has no meaning.
It does not matter.
Time is fake.
Yes, I saw you there. And I don't know the last time.
I feel like I see you all the time, but that's because I like your tweets.
I know. I feel like the same. I'm like, I see Corinne a lot. It's like on the internet.
In my
heart. I know everything that's going on.
I mean, you do. That's it.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I'm following along.
We're doing stuff. We're seeing each other. Yeah, it's
love
hard.
It.
How are you guys?
Great. Yeah, good. Frizzy, but good.
Yes.
So word on the streets is that you're doing a show
About my abortion.
Your abortion.
My abortion.
Let's get into it.
I know. Sure. I mean, like the title of your show, literally.
Great title.
Just asking for an appearance on Guys We Fucked.
Yes. Yeah,
and we
truly,
wanted to have you on for so long.
Melding of the, like, just like a perfect marriage. But I mean, obviously,
guys,
not
I went through
us.
A thing.
We're not marriage ladies, I don't think.
Yeah. No. And then I saw it and I was like, yes. This is the moment.
Now we strike.
Yes. So I guess tell us the origin story.
So you got an abortion, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, I had an abortion and I thought it was hilarious. No, but I went through, like, I was surprised to need one. I was 35.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like every woman, is like, I feel like this is how I would, or you ponder how you would react.
Yes. Sure.
So you know, was your reaction and your pondered reaction related? Were they close or were they different?
I think I, like, had put out of my mind that it was going to happen because I was over 35. I was 35 years old. I was like, well, if it hasn't happened yet, I mean, there's no way it happens now. All right. My friends are, like, struggling to get pregnant. Right. Yeah. Trying to have babies, and here I was like, oops.
Right. Like, truly. Sorry, guys. Sorry. I don't want this.
I don't even want this one. Yeah.
Do you want a kid ever?
No.
Oh, okay, got it.
The show kind of delves into kind of how we conflate, like, motherhood and womanhood, and our identities are very tied up in that. And, like, look, if I had had an abortion at 24, I don't think it would have made me think about all of the things that it did. But I, like, had this, and I was like, wow, this is really... I make a decision every day not to have kids. I mean, I guess not, because I, like, we didn't use protection when I had sex with that guy. So I guess that wasn't a decision. But, like, you know, every day, like, I live my life as somebody who, like, does not want children.
Still don't want kids today.
Still don't want kids today. But, like, this felt like such a, like, today you really made that choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And kind of what it means to be somebody who is choosing that, and, like, to be somebody who... in culture, as a woman, gets asked, like, do you want a kid? Why don't you want a kid? Like,
you're
going to want one day. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, now I'm almost 40. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not. Like,
so you
I
get
promise.
That. You still get that. People don't, saying you'll, I mean, like, change your mind.
Yeah.
You get that, but I don't get that.
Interesting.
But I guess I never really said I don't want kids. I maybe said that a few times, but I just don't
it's
really talk
thing.
About it.
It's
I don't,
the hardest thing to say in I the show is somebody. I don't want kids. Yeah, it's easier to say I had an abortion.
That's so interesting. Is it because of how people react to you, or because you have some kind of an inner conflict about it?
I think, like, more like culturally and global. Like, not like the reaction at the show is always just, like, very, the audiences have been so good so far for the first week, and I'm just, like, very thankful that they're, like, so open to the vulnerability and also, like, to the things that are funny. They laugh, like, they're not like, you know,
right.
It's really, like, actually a great comedy audience. But I think there's something that's, like, harder to say, like, I don't want kids, like, I had an abortion. It's like you come in knowing I had an abortion.
Right.
Like,
right.
That's what, there's no twists. Like,
yeah.
I did, like, I'm not like, and then what happened?
Surprise.
I kept it.
My
name
son's
is Charlie.
Here, you guys.
They do that on TV all the time, though. They always make you think they're the characters going to have an abortion, and then they don't.
Sex
and
in the City.
And
being
I get
like,
pissed. Girls.
Oh, wow.
Girls.
Yeah.
Every
they
time
really
I'm like, have
you.
The fucking abortion.
I know.
Do it. I'm like.
Jenny Slate did in her movie.
Yeah, yes. I'm like eating popcorn. I'm like, have the fucking abortion.
Have the abortion.
Like, you're going to regret having that kid.
Not even, just because I want to see it on TV, because if we can't even show fake people doing it, how the fuck are we going to accept real people doing
exactly.
it?
Exactly. And like, and when you do see depictions of abortion, it's always like trauma porn. Not that those experiences are very real, and it's like important that those are reflected back into the culture, but not everyone's abortion is from like a traumatic event or resulted in trauma. Like I think a lot of women have the experience I had where you were like, that was kind of annoying and I went and did it. And I was like, all right, like perfect world. I didn't do that because it's still a medical procedure.
Sure.
At the end of the day.
Did you opt for the pills or
procedure?
Because I
definitely
I have not yet once heard do the pills. Every woman who's done the pills is like, never.
Every woman
do
I
those
talk to.
Fucking devil pills.
Well, because like, you just have to be at home by yourself.
Yeah.
Doing,
and you like, give birth to, like, you get contractions and stuff. I'm like, this is why I want an abortion, because I don't want that.
Yeah. I'm opting out of childbirth. Like, I don't want to have, like, the trauma of having a miscarriage on my toilet. Like, that is a terrible, that is what it is. And like,
I guess so.
And I think that there are people who want their partner there, or maybe, like, are terrified of procedures, and I understand it, but I'm like, no, put me under. Like, I want to go under for a dental cleaning. Like, I don't want to be awake for anything.
I think also
my
like
life,
for any part of my
show.
Life. The subway ride here. I was like, I wish I was out.
I think it also feels less
commute anesthetics.
Like an abortion when you take the pills, or that's what people guess
absolutely.
Ahead of time.
I'm sure that people are like, oh, this will be like a little bit like, this is such a like procedure with a doctor, and like the pills will be like more like
a morning after, like a plan B. Yeah.
So whatever people feel like, but I've never spoken to a woman who did the pills who was like, oh, it was great.
Yeah.
But everybody I've talked to who had the procedure was like, yeah, it's so easy.
When you went to, did you go to Planned Parenthood?
Over on Bleecker.
Did they
everybody's
give you
favorite, the Margaret Sanger Center.
Oh yeah, I love that one. Did they give you an honest depiction of the pills, or were they like, which one would you like to do? This one or this one?
You have to answer on the phone when you make the appointment. And so she explained them to me, and I have like a chunk in the show where I like talk about that explanation. And she's like, people like this because you could do it in the comfort of your own home. And I'm like, ma'am, I live in a New York City apartment. Yeah, like nothing in there is comfortable.
Yeah. There's roaches and rats.
Yeah. It's too small to be medical.
Yeah.
So she didn't walk me through. Like, I also, like, once I started thinking about what it was, I was like, yeah, no. Also, I've had like a million surgeries. So like to me, that procedure is like walking so low. Yeah. I was like, I just like, current me just had a spinal fusion.
Yeah,
I was gonna
say you had a really serious,
like, so it's like, I don't know, like being out for like 30 minutes while like somebody basically like puts a speculum up there. I'm like, I don't know, like this feels fine.
Yeah. Were you met with any, how old are you? Oh, you want one? Like, were you met with that attitude at all? No.
Planned Parenthood was like dope as hell. They were just like, they were like, yeah, this is what we're here for. This is what we do. They did ask me when I was checking in like this big, this isn't in the show, but like as I was like checking in, you go through like four different waiting rooms to go back there.
Whoa.
And on the first one, they were like, and how much money do you make? And I was like,
what?
I can't say that out loud in this room. Like, not that it's a lot of money, but it is.
Why would they ask you
more
that?
Than it should be for?
Is it an like, abortion sliding scale?
I don't know. I think it's more that they're getting. It's like telehealth.
Yeah.
I think it's more just so they can be keeping statistics on like, hey, here's who gets abortions and here's who like
that's
whatever.
What I was thinking. Yeah,
it's not, I don't think it was like so we could be like, oh, in that case, like it's going to be $800 instead of four. Like, but I was just like, I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what everybody else's deal is. Like, don't make me say, like, I had just come off of like a good year of television writing. I was like, don't make me say this number out loud. It's really embarrassing. Not embarrassing, but like.
It just feels weird. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not trying to brag here. No one's trying to brag here in this
room. Just like slide a piece of paper across. Like write it down.
I just want this fetus out of me. Can we just do that?
Yeah. That was the only thing that I found. But again, like that's just for collecting data. That's not for like.
Yeah. I think that's more to help the Planned Parenthood organization.
Yes. To be like, oh, there are like people in all of these different tax brackets. Like it is not like just poor women. It is not just rich women. Like it's everybody.
Yeah.
And so that's what they wanted. But I was just like, do I have to tell you that? Can I just write it down?
I think that's like Republicans' fault that you had to say that because they're always like, why are we paying for other people's abortions? And like, well, number one, you're not paying for
them. You're not. You kind actually of don't. That's the whole thing is that you actually don't ever pay for these. I had to pay for it.
Yeah.
And thank God we live in New York, though, because there's no protesters outside the clinics.
Like there's a few.
I've been to the Bleecker.
There's always a few old like religious people just like standing across the street like praying. But it's not like
that's non-invasive.
It's like the gay pride parade when like a couple of the Orthodox guys will always come out in June for the walk.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, guys.
It's like they're not scary, but they're definitely like there and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't like that you know I'm going in here.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's a strange thing to spend your day doing. I don't understand that.
Yeah. It was so hot out. I was like, come on. Summer. They're wearing full suits. I was like, what are you doing?
My God.
But no, New York is like such a wonderful like
bastion
of liberalism when it comes to reproductive rights, especially.
Thank God. Thank God.
Now, and you said you weren't, you said you had sex with this dude. You weren't using protection. So you weren't on birth control of any kind?
No,
have you ever been on birth control?
I used to be on Yaz. Do you guys
Yes. Oh, yes. Yaz queen for a second.
Did you also almost die of a blood clot?
Oh, no.
I
almost died of a blood, or I almost got a blood clot from the patch back in
hormones
the day.
Hormones do that. So like back in the, so I had like a very serious blood clot. And
holy
so I was like,
crap.
No.
And you don't know until it's almost got
killing
you.
Yeah.
Yeah. How'd you know?
My leg turned purple.
that's a sign.
Yeah. It was pretty obvious. It was also like, it was a lot of things and Yaz was definitely part of it.
Wow.
So I just was like, no more hormones.
Wow.
Nothing.
What'd you have to do when you have a blood clot? What do you rush to the hospital?
Yeah. They were like, we have to cut off your leg or.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's like this whole.
They shouldn't even have. Oh
yeah.
My God.
And then I did this experimental procedure at Hopkins because they were like, I don't know, you're going to die. So do you want to try this? And I was like, okay. And I did.
Whoa.
I was 19.
You were close to death.
Very.
So,
extremely.
Are you psychic? So because you were smart enough to make the decision to do the experimental procedure, that's why you still have both your legs?
That's why I'm still
and
alive.
And you're alive. That's fucking crazy. So what was? So then what was cutting your leg off going to do?
Well, it would have probably killed me, but they were like, well, it's all blood. Like all your veins are going to stop working soon because like, they're not going to use.
You need that blood flow, boo.
You need that blood flow. So they were like, well, we could do that, but you're on all these blood thinners. So like, you'll probably just bleed out and die on the table. So we won't do that. But also
sick options.
It's like a whole other episode.
Jesus.
Anyway, Yaz was a part of why that happened. And so I was like, no more hormones for me. I'm not doing it. So I've been on like no birth control for like 20 years and it's been fine so far.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
Condoms,
did you have mental side effects from the pill or no?
I was so young and such a fuck up that it's like hard to know what was
you were because fuck
of
up?
what was the hormones and what was just my personality and my ability to like move through my life functionally.
Oh, it's funny because you seem so responsible.
I would never
a child with you. I mean,
oh wow.
Yeah.
I mean, don't. Clearly. I wouldn't leave a child with myself. I made sure that would happen. Yeah, I mean, not like fuck up, but like definitely like riding the teen girl wave of being a psychopath.
Mm-hmm. In what way? I mean, I have my own psychopathic ways, but I mean, what were yours?
Just like lashing out at my parents, like trying to run away, like nice. You know, just the standard. Like,
how hard did you try to run away? Like, did you
not
actually
very,
try?
Not right. very. I like, left for an
I'm
afternoon.
I'm gonna leave and come right back.
Yep. Couple hours passed, and I was like, I kind of have no. plan here.
Nowhere to go.
Yeah. So I was like, everywhere I would go are people who would just call my parents. So I guess I'll just go back home and fight with them and go to therapy again.
Yeah. Did they have a mental disorder, personality disorder of any kind? Or you just butted heads?
No, I was just an asshole.
Okay.
I think. I don't know.
Maybe.
I was like a depressive teen, only child. Like
I was gonna say, are you an only child? Okay.
And overachiever, the ups and like, you know, like good at school, sports, social, but then just like darkness all the time.
Oh,
one of those.
Yeah.
you know those.
Yes.
What was your darkness? Like, what form would it take? Just like thought, like depression. Just like
depression.
Literally.
I went to the when I went to high school. My high school had the highest suicide rate in the country.
Whoa. Which high school is this?
Severna Park High School. It's in Maryland. It's like between Baltimore and Annapolis.
Okay.
It's between Baltimore and DC.
How many suicides?
We had like one a year.
Wow.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Or maybe not one a year, but like, I think like
I wonder if there was like either the water was fucked up.
It's
like there was
really
a water plant, power
up
plant.
Place. It's a nice, it's a place where you show, it's very like Pleasantville. Like you show up and you're like, oh it's nice here. Everyone's blonde, which like, I was like,
creepy.
I don't think that's nice. My parents and I did not think that was nice. But on paper,
it's always
if
scary.
It was a catalog, you'd be like, I'm interested.
Right.
You know, high achieving, like. People had money, like, it, you know, but at the same time, like, everybody was really depressed. And there was, like, this weird, like,
something
vaguely
in the
culty Christian undertones. Oh. And, like, as a Jew.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not my fave.
Right.
So how did you end up there? Your parents ended up living there. Are they from there originally?
No, they're not. But my parents, my mom was teaching in Baltimore and my dad was working in D.C. Like, and it was just, like, this is in between the two.
Yeah.
And it's, like, a nice place. Like, good schools. Like, pretty house. You can have a boat, like whatever. But
does your school be having the highest suicide rate in the country? Do they have a program to like combat that?
Oh, no.
Wow.
No. Like so few. Like I was in therapy and like no one else was in therapy.
And
I was like,
wow.
Why aren't you guys in therapy? Therapy rules.
Right. Well, it's interesting because
therapy is for Jewish people.
Yeah,
we don't
honestly,
do that.
They're like, oh, the Jews talk about their feeling. No, they don't say that. That's my voice for them. But you know what I mean.
Well, I do think because I come from a high school with a lot of tragedy, like a lot of people leaving on school trips and dying, a lot of car accidents, a lot of that. So so much so that they say that the school is cursed.
Where did you grow up again?
Union, New Jersey.
Right.
Artie Lang, you know, Ray Liotta. A lot going on.
Heavy
there.
Hitters.
Yeah.
And so I always thought it was interesting because like it was so hush hush when anything like that would happen. Like they wouldn't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even really remember. They might have offered counseling for people. I think like they did, but it wasn't like. It was kind of like on the DL, like, hey, don't talk about this in class. But like, if you need to talk to someone, like get a pass, go down the hall, like keep your fucking mouth shut about it.
Wow. Yeah.
Because I think sometimes like their explanation was that they didn't want to glorify it or make you some kind of like a celebrity or a hero.
Right.
And that being said, I was like, I think there's a fine line between not glorifying it and then also just like saying like this is something that we don't talk about. Like you need to talk about it. And obviously like
you can't like pretend that kids didn't die.
Yeah.
That's like
you
insane.
You went on a whitewater rafting trip with, you know, 100 kids and you came back with 99. We need to fucking have an explanation for this.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what? Fucked up.
Because then it just was like
a,
it was just circulating
whitewater
as a rumor
rafting.
In the he drowned. It was just circulating as a rumor in the school.
Right. You need at least like an answer of like this is what happened so people can stop like speculating.
Yeah. I didn't even know the I went to a very big high school so I didn't even know the person who drowned and I still think about it I'm 36 years old. I'm still thinking about it.
Right.
A lot. I still think about it a lot.
Of course you would.
Yeah.
Ugh.
We had assemblies when a kid died. Because it didn't happen that often. We had a big school. But yeah, we just drunk driving sometimes. Oh, we had an assembly. We're like, this is what we talk about, you know.
They would make some like cryptic announcement over the loudspeaker when someone died in our school.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, I remember they'd like
Johnny's
stop.
Not yeah. coming back.
Not even that specific. No. Vague.
Whoa.
Very vague.
Yeah.
Weird.
Like, there was an incident.
Yeah. I'm just trying to remember the last time someone did it. I just remember like that, like our Spanish class got like stopped and we were all like just in Spanish class sitting silently. And like, we were like, what is this? And it's like,
yeah.
Well, someone killed themselves and it's awful and horrific. And you are teens and you should understand what's going on, because if any of you feel that, we should be able to help manage it instead of just pretend it's not happening.
Right. Because then you're going to feel like you're fucking alone, and that's what's going to get you to actually kill yourself.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Human beings, man, they still think not talking about something's going to make it go away, and it only makes the pendulum swing harder the other way.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
Like abortion.
Yeah. Oh, God. So you were seeing this guy, you were just fucking?
Yeah, it was like an on again, off again, like just.
Do you tell him?
Fuck, nope.
Yeah.
So yeah, because if it's cash. Even the show's out, he still doesn't know it's him?
No.
Has anyone texted you and been like, is it me?
No.
Oh, okay.
Which I'm like, all right.
Oh, come on. You don't care?
Nice.
Oh, okay. I'd be like, concerned. It might be them. Come on.
I don't think that anybody's worried. I think they're like, even if they think it's them, I think they're like, phew.
They're relieved.
Yeah. They're like, God. Thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess like some people could try and get there. There weren't like a lot of players at the time. So like it's a small circle and they're all stupid. So, you know, it's just like, I don't know if they'll put it together. And if they do, and they if you ever asked, I would be honest.
Did
but it's
you,
also just like not necessary.
Before you took the test, before you took the pregnancy test, did you know?
So I've never had a late period or a pregnancy scare before after all that stupid unprotected sex for so many years.
Right.
Like it just never happened. Which, again, which is another reason why I was like, I don't know, this probably isn't going to happen to me because like it would have.
Yeah.
Like
there
were times in my life where I was having way more unprotected sex.
Raw dog.
This was like a one and done. Like it had been a minute and I was like, I'm going to give him a call.
Yeah.
And then like this. And I was like, well.
Shit.
Yeah, truly shit.
I'm going to give Planned Parenthood a call.
I was late and I was like nauseous and I was like, I mean, I got putting the pieces together here. Like, you know, but you don't. Like, I have a joke in the show where I'm like, taking this pregnancy test felt like taking a COVID test after a wedding in Florida.
You're
like, the test is like, come on.
Have it.
Like, don't make me tell you. You know the answer.
Stop like, running away.
Turn blue immediately.
Oh, like, really? The
an alarm went off.
Yeah. It was like, you've been in contact with someone.
Damn. Oh, wow.
Truly. So like, yeah, I kind of like knew. Have you ever had like a scare?
No, I've for some reason I've wanted a scare. Like back in like there's this guy I was dating that was terrible and we broke up because he cheated on me. And I for some reason I was like, I wish I was pregnant so I had a hook in him, which was such an immature thing to think. But
I'm like,
I would take pregnancy tests and I would be like, nope. Like, I was just, like, I was disappointed. I don't know why.
Like, you weren't even late? You were just like...
Yeah, no,
you were
not
hoping.
Even late. Yeah.
Yeah, when I was in college, I always, like... I want to be very clear. A dick has never been in me when I have not been on the birth control pill.
That's a good way to be.
I'm psychotic. I have jokes about my worst fear is getting pregnant. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's just, like...
Yeah,
I just
for sure.
don't want it to happen, even at this age. Mm-hmm. And
absolutely.
And it's so funny because I was still in college, like, with the first person I was having sex with, I would just like always think I was pregnant, even though like statistically, like almost like impossible. And so there was a period when I first started having sex where I would like be buying so many pregnancy tests and like just going through
know.
Them in the bathroom. But then I was like, Corinne, you have to stop living like this. Like
yes.
you can't have anxiety every time you have sex. This is no
It'll
way
ruin
to live.
Sex. Yeah.
So I just said, and if you're pregnant, you'll handle it. You know. And then I relieved myself of that. But there was like a couple months there when it was some wild behavior.
Well, I remember being in college and like a rumor going around that a girl got pregnant and she had been on the pill and they used condoms.
Whoa.
And like, obviously that's not something that happened.
It's an urban legend.
It's
terrifying nonetheless.
It's always like 2 degrees away from you where you're like, I mean,
yeah.
Lindsay told me that Courtney heard from Sheila. Like, and you're like, I mean, those are all real people.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I don't think they'd make it up. And it's like, yeah, but they also might not fact check it.
It's like when Beta from My Girl said she got an STD from sitting on a toilet. And you're like, oh, no, you can, that can happen.
Yeah, it fucking is. It's like, we all know Bloody Mary is not coming through the mirror. But like, how many times have you alone said it in the mirror? Like, I'm not testing it. I don't want to know.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Oh, my God. So was it something like, so you had known, obviously, other people who had gotten abortions. Like, how, like, would you say, like, how many people that would you know that got abortions?
I don't think, like, when I went, like, I kind of didn't, also, I was, like, traveling for work. I was on tour doing stand-up when this happened. So I, like, couldn't tell anybody around me because I was like, it's just not their business. We were, like, moving toward,
you don't
like,
want to talk about it. You're like, I already know what I'm going to do.
Somebody was shooting a special and I was like, I can't, like, make this about me. It's not, this is not about me. I mean, this is about me, but, like, this trip is not about me.
Sure.
And I just, none of my close friends have had one. Mm-hmm. And like, now that I have like had one and talk about it, and now I'm talking about it very publicly all the time, people have like, told me, they're like, oh, I had one. And like, also like total strangers and like, which is like wonderful. And I love it. I think it's great.
And you're like, oh, fuck, a lot of motherfuckers been having abortions.
Before I did it. And going into it, no one I knew. So, like, no one. And I used to be an activist for Planned Parenthood. And I still was like, how does this work? What do you do?
Right.
What is it?
Yeah.
It's much different when I think when it happens to you.
Yeah. It's like this theoretical thing. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you're just, like, the biggest supporter, like, you just don't know until you have it.
And then after,
you have
like,
to do it.
And they, so they knock you out? You got knocked out for the procedure?
They were like, you can get knocked out. And I was like, it is crazy that people are not getting it.
I wouldn't. I don't know. I'm a control freak.
It was the weird. Easy. It's like
they play a prank on you. They leave the baby in there,
and they're like, ha-ha. They were just
that's
like
a woman's prank show. That's funny. That's fucking hilarious. We didn't give you an abortion, but we made you think we did.
Gotcha,
holy
bitch.
Shit!
Now you got this kid. It's like it's the whole procedure takes like 7 minutes. Like, it's it's very fast.
Yeah.
I think
your wisdom to that
from like the in and out. Like, I think like you know the prep. It's like 30 minutes. I think.
Wow.
That you're under, but you're not even fully under. You're just like kind of.
Oh, you're out of it. So you're like,
it's like Twilight.
Oh.
So you don't remember it. Mm-hmm. But you know, you're not like fully.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're not like fully like in like full anesthesia. Like, all right, is she alive? Like, but it is.
Did they have to?
I don't remember anything. I just remember like being like, bye bye. And then like waking up and being like, I feel amazing. And like walked out of there and it was great.
Nice. Did you have a friend come with you to walk you or did you just leave the abortion clinic after your abortion?
If you do the procedure, they make you have somebody like go home with you. But right. No one's allowed like into the waiting room where just the abortion provider, like where just the abortion services girls are.
Uh-huh. For safety. Because people are fucking
psychos. I think it's for safety.
Psychos.
And also like, I don't know. It's just like, it's already, even if you don't really care about what's happening to you. It is just an intense vibe in there.
Yeah.
Like, even also, like, everybody's vibe when I was there, at least, was very like, this is not how I wanted to spend my Saturday. Like, just very, like, annoyed.
Yeah.
But there's a waiting room on the street level where, like, just like the main Planned Parenthood entrance, and there's just like a bunch of guys down there in flip flops waiting.
Oh, man.
So, like, my friend, like, she was like, I'll come, like, text me when you're done, and I'll come meet you, and we can go back to your place. And,
okay.
Have edibles and watch TV.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah, because like, what do you do after your abortion? Like, I guess you go binge watch something on Netflix.
Here's the most devastating part to me mm-hmm. is that after you have an abortion, you do bleed for a few days, like your like period style, and you can't wear tampons. You have to wear pads.
Mm-hmm. You got those thick-ass
diapers. I'm not a pads girl.
I don't like pads.
I'm a tampon girl.
Oh,
so like,
me too.
I was leaving the next day for Miami for a week for
Miami.
Work.
Miami!
For work.
Oh,
and I was like,
my God, you can't wear a pad in Miami?
For the most part, I was just like sitting in an air-conditioned hotel room doing work. So I was like, that's fine. But I was like, I also like,
Want to go to the beach
when I have like a minute. And
so
I would just like put on my bathing suit and like run from my room to the beach and just get in the water. Just try to beat it.
have you ever tried period underwear?
I really want to. It wouldn't have solved the swimming. But
No.
I do want to try. Do you guys use it?
I love it.
You love
period.
It?
Oh my, it's so soft on my vagina and
butt. Do you
have
a brand
too.
You like? I don't know if
they're all. Sphinx is one of them. And then there's another one that
there's
we got.
There's a
Dear Kate or something.
Yeah.
I've never used one that I didn't like. They're all kind of similar quality.
They're all the same thing, right?
I wish real underwear was that soft.
Yeah.
So soft.
Because it reminds me because it's made of the same fabric of a bathing suit.
Yes.
So it's very similar. You just have to be gentle with it because a lot of times they'll try to put like lacy like rims and stuff on it. And I'm always like pulling it up and like put my
I don't
thumbs
need lace
going through it.
On my period underwear.
Yeah,
like I'm good.
Don't make me. Can
exactly.
I not be fuckable
be
for 1 second?
What is your do you masturbate a lot?
Oh yeah.
So how long after your abortion did you get horny again? Or were you
probably once? Because you definitely, like, I will say, I personally, I have no idea what everybody's body does, but sure. You know, the first few days, like, it's very like
a little sore.
It kind of, you know that feeling when you pull out a tampon and it's a little too dry?
Oh, do I
it
ever?
It kind of feels like that.
Yeah.
That's like a, so it's not like crazy painful, but it's also not like comfortable.
Yeah.
So it kind of felt like that for a little. So like, you know, you're just like not in the mood to like deal with anything from like tits to weight, like, you know, tits down.
Because when something's awry with your vagina, it's like
you're not like, I can't wait to touch it. Like,
everything's off. Yeah.
Let's put something electronic down there. Probably a week or two after.
Nice.
Like, it wasn't like months of just like, I don't know how I could ever have sex again. I was just like, oh, I want to have sex with somebody different and not that, and probably not ever do that again. And we'll be more careful.
Yeah. I was going to ask, so you never had sex with that guy again? Or did you?
I think I did one more time.
Yeah.
I think there's like a long time.
And in
time
the middle
after.
Of it, right before he was going to come, were you like,
surprise,
I got pregnant, but I got rid of it?
I think I thought about saying something at some point, and I was like, truly no need.
Yeah. Yeah. because if it's to the point where, one, you don't know him terribly well, and you're not like,
it's
intimate.
Not like we were ever going to debate, like, should we be together? Like, that was like never on the table.
The,
it was
the
always
decision's
just like,
ultimately
this is
yours.
Just fun. And
yeah.
Yeah. And also, I was like, I don't know, like, might
it
get.
Wouldn't have been about it.
Like, to me, I was like, the best case scenario is he would be like, okay, cool, great. And it's like, okay, well, then why do we even have to have this conversation? Like, it just feels like
unnecessary.
And like the worst case scenario wouldn't happen, which is like him being upset. And I was like, well, what am I doing then? Like, this just feels like an unnecessary. But I understand why there are other people who might move through that differently than I did.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Because it's an interesting conversation. Because I mean, I'm sure I can imagine, like, not that we're going to clip this section, but like, if we clip this, we put this on Instagram, I know the exact comments that we would be getting from men.
Sure.
And like, they feel like they have a right to know. And like, listen, obviously, you have a right to know about a being that is like created. But for me, it's like when you get an abortion, it's so far away. And I know lots of religious people and other people would argue, but for me, it's so far away from being a human being. It's just like, what are we even talking about here?
Yeah, like, do you want me to report back every time I get my period after we have sex? Like, to me, like, that it was like that much of like a
Well, and also thing. Too, people people who are so anti-choice in the way that we see often, you're projecting something. You're projecting your need for control or something. Like, it's because everything's always a projection, especially when you're so emotionally heated like that. And abortion and infidelity are two of the topics that just get so much fucking heat.
Yeah.
And it's because it's like this funnel for your feelings you didn't fucking deal with. For like a lot of people, like for somebody to stand outside a clinic and be nosy about somebody else's decision is insane.
It just doesn't affect you, so I don't see why. Like, I don't care what you do.
Yeah.
Do whatever you do. As long as it doesn't hurt me personally.
Right.
Or someone else, then fine. But I guess the someone else is what's a question for them. That's someone else. I don't think it's someone else at all, obviously.
Now, was it a so obviously I'm guessing you've had because of the show, at the very least, had a conversation with your parents about it?
So I did I don't want to give away the back end of the show where there actually is a twist, but it is about talking to my mom. And I have talked to my mom about it. And like, now she's like, you know, she was never upset about it. She's like been a NARAL donator, like donor, like her whole, like, I have the shirt she wore for the March on Washington in 1992 for abortion rights.
Badass.
So like,
So she's probably like, hell yeah, Allison, yeah, get that abortion. She's
very,
this, you're right.
Very, very, very like she was just mad I hadn't told her about it. And like, I waited several months and yeah, she was like, oh, I wish you had just told me about it when it happened. And I was like, I don't know. I was like traveling for work. And she's like, okay. It's like, not sure, the answer.
Yeah.
So like, you know, to me, like it kind of also like solidified like what the show is about, which is about just like talking about it more. Like I felt bad that I didn't tell my mom about it because like she is somebody who was very supportive and yeah, loving and like understands exactly why I would do that. So
yeah, yeah. I understand it though. I mean, it's like, it's because to me it's under the umbrella of, you know, sexuality, and like at 35 you're not really having a lot of sit down talks,
yeah,
with your mom.
I don't
about,
really talk, I mean, to my parents about like sex and relationships in general.
Same.
I think that they think I've like not ever, like, I think that they're like, she hasn't dated in 15 years because she just doesn't bring it up to us. And I'm like, no, just not everyone who's sticking around, you know, right, like no one you need to know about or meet.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I'm like, she hears about it on this show and she's like, why didn't you? And I go, because I have, this is how I make money.
Yeah.
I go, it's not like I'm like itching to talk about it, honestly. Yeah. I'm like not a vulnerable person at all. I don't know why I do this.
Yeah.
But you just, it's ridiculous.
You just don't have to share stuff.
I don't know why I do this.
It's a ridiculous idea.
So funny.
And now we're too far in.
Yeah. So. No, you've committed. You made your choice.
Hey, sometimes
you're
just
keeping it.
Don't feel like sharing. Like sharing is not going to do anything. Like if you don't yeah, need to, then
yeah. Yeah, it's like I'm close with my parents and we talk about lots of things, but like
right,
sex and dating has never been really, like I know girls who are like very close with their moms
yeah,
who have that, and I'm just like, no, yeah.
I am very close with my mom. I just would rather talk about other things and also
or other people.
Yeah,
like that's my favorite.
Let's shit talk, mom.
Yeah,
yeah. I just like don't. I don't know. And I just kind of like tell my family. I'm like, don't worry about me. I literally always have a boyfriend, which is true. I just don't
know.
Like I just don't. It's just not like when you if you need to know about someone, I'll give you a heads. Like I won't get married and not tell you.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. If we're moving in together, you'll have met him.
Yeah.
At some point.
Right.
But like beyond that, I just don't see like
in the last 15 years have you had a long-term relationship?
No, it's been like, you know, here and there it's like let's try this out, kind of like dating, but never like, you know, exclusive in any way. And
yeah,
it's been fine.
Is it something that you're interested in? Or
I think the thing is like I'm like such an outdoor cat now that like I feel like I've really like I'm 38 and like I have a really nice life and I'm like, ooh, yeah, I don't really see how someone else fits into this. I've really
right, they're gonna have to really, really show up.
Yeah, you're gonna have to great, like fit into like a whole thing that I've done here, which yeah, is like this is where I live, I'm not traveling,
that's how
this
men
is what
do,
I do
it, that's not
and
how
that's
women
how men
do
it.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, like I don't want somebody coming over to my apartment all the time and fucking it up. It's very clean.
Right.
Well, and I don't trust,
you know,
men.
And also men
to
don't
be clean or in any context.
They don't adapt.
Yeah.
Men don't adapt. I
they've mean, never been asked to.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you can ask them to. Well, that's why I mean,
I think you can. Yeah, I think
you can ask Gen
Z, but they won't. But they won't do it without the formal request.
Right.
Like, no man is going to be like, hey, why don't I work around your schedule? If you're like, hey, I do this, so you figured out. They'll be like, okay,
yeah.
Like mm-hmm, if they want to stick around. But I like the idea of a long term relationship. I don't know. I mean, right now, also my life is like wild because it's like, oh, every single night of the week I get on stage and talk about my abortion that I had with somebody else. Do you yeah, want to get in on this? Like
yeah, foreplay.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
But if it makes money, then it's like we did it.
Yeah. Yay.
And it hopefully it will. So like I don't know. I'm just like open to.
Have you ever
whatever,
had unrequited love?
No.
Nice.
I think I've
yeah,
had like
that's awesome because
yeah,
that shit sucks.
I've had like things where it ended and like I was definitely the one who wanted more than the other person.
Okay.
But not like in a way where it carried on for more than like 2 or 3 months of being like, this kind of sucks.
Oh, okay.
Like,
okay.
Of course, like, yes, yes, I have felt bad.
Yeah.
Like, let me tell you, I've felt bad a lot, but I don't feel like there was someone where I was like,
fuck,
God,
they got
that
away,
really should have. We really, I really wish we could have made that work. Like,
yeah,
I don't really think that there's been anyone. Like, everything
nice,
that has not worked out, which I guess is everything, has like, it, especially like with distance from it, I'm like,
oh yeah,
yeah
that makes
that's
sense,
like definitely not the right thing for me. And
yeah,
I've learned like different things that I want more from that, and things I like want to take from it, and
yeah,
and things I would love to leave over there.
And with the decision to not have kids, did you? Like, it is so annoying because people ask you all the time, like, you're missing out on something huge. And, like, it was funny. We just had Mike Cannon on before you. And
such
he
a
was
cute
talking
little
about,
kid.
Yeah.
His
was talking
kid
about
is
his
so
wife's
cute,
pregnancy. And it sounded like the experience of childbirth, that's the only thing that I'm disappointed to be missing out on. The raising a child, no.
You want to experience childbirth?
Yeah, it's not. It's
childbirth specifically, or pregnancy and childbirth.
I guess both of those things. Because
kind of cool to, even though, like, I guess I've had it on a very, very tiny scale. Like, right. Cool to be like, what does it feel like?
Yeah. It just seems like this really cool thing that, like, you know. So you're like, oh, okay, only a certain group of people can do this. This is fucking badass.
Yeah, it is.
Like,
yeah. So badass.
I love this, and it feels like kind of like a superpower that you're not using.
Totally.
That being said, I can think of about 1,000 other reasons why not to have a kid, both for myself personally and for the world at large.
Yes.
Huge.
Yeah.
Not to mention that, like, doing this show, I feel like I've said many times before, I have, you know, thousands of daughters all over the United States and Canada and everything. So, like, there's nothing that I'm going to get out of it. And also, and, like, this is another thing that we talk about a lot. Like, I had a nice childhood, and I think a lot of people who want to have kids are trying to redo a childhood. Mm-hmm. Not only am I not interested in redoing a childhood, I would fail in comparison to my parents.
I agree.
There's no way I could do as good of a job as they did. I'm already starting too late. Like, even if I had a kid today, I'm starting too late. I don't have the manpower, the bandwidth to do it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I'm not trying to set out for failure. That's not my thing.
No, I'm same boat. Had a great childhood. Had incredible, loving, supportive parents. Had the kind of childhood where, like, if we wanted to do something and we were able to do it, I'm an only child. We took trips. I went to do sports camps. I did all the things that, like,
nice.
Like, there wasn't anything where I was like, yeah, we didn't get to do that. And mm-hmm. so I'm like, well, I don't think I could provide somebody with that at this point.
Also,
the world
too,
is very different.
Yeah.
And,
you managed to create, both of you guys have created lives for yourself where you do cool shit, you make good money, and you're like, why would I ever fuck this up?
Yeah.
Yes. I also have a brother who I think is going to have a kid with.
Oh, see.
So, and that's the best. Yeah, I have a brother who has a kid.
See, I'm an only child, and I think that my parents want to be grandparents. Like, I mean, I think.
Do they say that?
All the time. and I think that that's like.
There's a rumor.
Well, maybe that's probably what went into you not telling your mom right away, because you're like, yeah.
And that's kind of like where the show lands, is like, kind of, we act like choosing not to have kids is this like zero cost, selfish, like, yeah, and then you just live your life and there's no, like, negative side, like, maybe you're lonely and you don't have a family, but it's like, no, there's like real cost to choosing that. And like, to me, it's like depriving my parents of something that they really want. And I love my parents, but I also can't have a kid just so that, like, my mom can be a grandmother.
Yeah.
Which is like devastating. Because I wish I could do that for her.
I surmise that a lot of people have kids for their parents.
I
imagine if you're under your parents' spell, especially, like, you can easily, like, want to please them by having a kid, and you're like, oof, that sucks to be that kid.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, I definitely think I've put more thought into not having a kid than most people have put into having a kid.
I agree. 100%. Yes.
100%.
Well, you have to, like, actively choose both of them.
It's crazy.
Like, it's not like this is the negation of choice. Like, it's not like I was like, oh, I forgot to have a kid, so I'm not going to have one.
Did they,
like,
ask you questions, any type of counseling type questions about your decision, or were they just like, cool?
At Planned Parenthood?
Yeah.
No, there's a few questions they ask, like, during the sonogram, where they're just like, do you want to know if it has a heartbeat?
Okay.
You can kind of just be like, no.
No, right.
Which is what I was like, no. Don't care. But I don't remember there being any kind of, like, lifestyle or, like, therapeutic questions about, like, making choices or anything like
that.
It's
wild.
It's just kind of like, walk in, do it. They were super nice and I left.
That's awesome. I fucking love Planned Parenthood. That's a great vibe.
They had, like, good cookies and ginger ale afterwards.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, it's like giving blood.
Oh, I'm sure you, so you said you were an activist. You were like a volunteer escort?
I did escorting once, but then I was mostly like, I worked, like, when I first moved to New York and I, like, had a job before I did comedy, and I was like, how do you do things here? How do you make friends? Like, who do I talk to?
Yeah, volunteer's
great. I just have my college friends and those relationships are a little codependent. And so I was like, I want to do some stuff in the city. That's, like, why I live here. And so I joined the activist council. So we organized, like, fundraisers and, like, events and stuff like that.
Activist council?
Yeah.
Look that up.
It was great. It was really fun. I met a lot of really nice people and they were, like, you know, we threw parties and.
That's amazing. I didn't
get, like, a huge education about what abortion is from it. I mostly was like, how do we get money for this? So
Get that paper. I learned through Liz Winstead and her her activism efforts for pro-choice about those clinics that fuck, and there's one in Philly that I pass. They're
like
so deceptive.
Pregnancy center.
The T in the one of the words is a cross. That's usually how you know.
Yeah.
And they you know, welcome you in under the impression that you have options, and they're, like, you know, basically telling you you're gonna go to hell unless you pick certain options. I'm like, fuck. When I learned about those, I was like, Yeah. That's manipulative as shit.
Yeah, I wish I'd walked into one of those because I would be like, you fucking kidding me? Like, yeah. But of course, there are lots of people who easily could be swayed and are vulnerable in the moment of needing abortion. So I'm just like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Truly fuck off.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of my face. How dare you like try and convince me to do anything else?
Yeah, it's also so, it's so infant. It's treating women like infants because it's saying like that we haven't put a lot of thought into this, or that we don't know what this means. Like,
right.
And kind of like you said, like an abortion doesn't have to be a traumatic experience for everyone. I think there are some people, and I actually might even be one of those people who, like, if I got pregnant, and I think that's probably why I'm like, so it is my biggest fear, because I think I might have a hard time having one, even though I don't want a kid.
You don't know until it happens. And that's why, like, it's so important to just like give people all of the information and options and present abortion in all of the ways, like in pop culture and in like actual information, all of the ways it can go. Cause like you can be like dead set on being child free, but still have emotional trauma attached to having an abortion.
Yeah.
Or you can be like me where you're like, I mean, get this thing out of me.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, again, there's people who seek abortion for much more traumatic experiences.
Oh, who are raped. Or God.
And like, and people who are in abusive relationships and people who, or who the abortion itself is not the problem, but access is the problem. And you have to take out a loan so you could go overnight to a state that'll let you do it.
Right.
Or like, or you, you know, again, like you don't have the money. You're like, you don't live in a state that has like that, you know, you have to go through those millions programs. And millions of like, not millions, but like tons of protesters outside who are yelling at you and making you feel bad. And like
in a moment where that's not going
to
help.
Or you have to choose between like going to college and pursuing a career in your dream or raising a child.
Right. Like, you could want to do both. You could be older and like not really in the position. You could just be financially like not ready, but like also kind of at the end of your fertility or not. But like there's just so many ways. And we really only present like one or two paths. And it's like there's many, which is why I was like, I want to tell this story of how, I don't know, if you're 35 and you don't want kids and you don't have a ton of emotional trauma associated with what's happening, here's a way that it goes.
And that's good to hear. It's like we need to hear from people who've had these experiences. It's like it doesn't have to be the end of the world.
Yeah. You know? And like I talk a bit about like just the emotional journey in the show, and I've talked to like other women and my director and stuff, and a lot of people who are like, yeah, I thought this too, that like I would leave and feel something. Like you, because like we,
guilt or
we talk
regret.
About abortion as being like the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. Like it's just it's like, oh my God. It's when we talk about it, it is out of 10.
Yeah.
And then I left and I was like, okay. Like I personally,
feel
bad that you don't feel bad because our culture teaches you and imprints on you like, you should feel bad for what you just did. And it's like, why?
No.
I shouldn't.
No. Yeah, I think that's the only reason like we let it happen. Is because like it's like that's like why abortion like is even legal, is because like they were like, okay, well, if you feel really bad about it and we make it into this big thing and like you are never gonna do it again and like you're so sorry and it was a huge mistake, then we'll let you do it. You know, it feels like
it does feel that way.
It's almost like so there's some kind of like a transactional thing going
on. I feel like I'm supposed to apologize or like say that I've changed. And it's like, no. I'm more dead set in not having a kid now than ever because I could see that this option exists.
Right.
Like, which is very, not that I'm going to like use it as birth control, but also like, who cares if I did? Like,
right.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like for anybody's,
you know. It's just plain nobody else's business.
Exactly.
Did anything surprise you about how you felt about it or the process in general? Did anything take you by surprise?
No, I would say like going through it was, I mean, getting a sonogram, I just like didn't realize that would be part of it.
Yeah.
But it is routine. If you're doing the procedure, they do it.
Well, they have to verify that.
They have to see like, you know, how far along you are, I guess is why they do it. And I'm like, all right. But I guess that's, again, data collecting and like being able to present the full picture of what abortion is. No, you do have to be there all day in a way that I like never got an answer for what you have to like
when
she was
when?
Like, she was like, the procedure takes like 7 minutes, but you have to be there for 4 hours.
4 hours? Why?
I don't know. And
oh my
I
God,
don't
it's
know
like
if
an
that's
unnecessarily early call time.
Because it was like, I did the like 8 to noon when, chunk.
Yeah. I think it seems like it's like if you change your mind.
Yeah. And I don't want to like assume that because I have no idea like what Planned Parenthood operates under. And but like it does feel like there's a reason for it. And I can't figure out what it is.
It's like we can take it out, but we can't put it back in.
Yeah, it's like definitely.
You have
but
to
it's like
call that guy to.
But
put
it's
back.
Not like they're spending all this time like talking to you. You're just alone in a waiting room with like your phone, and like they have like a phone charging station because they know you're there. But like it's not like someone's like walking you through it, or it's just this very strange, like,
unnecessary.
It's like an hour of sitting, and then like you get like, you know, some medical quest. You know, how many drinks do you have a week? And I'm like 40, and they're like, okay.
We're glad you're here. Like, you're we're right, glad you're here, in the Allison. Right place. Yeah.
And you get weighed or whatever, and they get just some general blood pressure and stuff, and then like you wait for another hour.
And are you in the waiting room with other women?
Yeah.
Okay.
But everybody's
are you just
for
looking
the same-
around like.
We're all nice. There for the same reason. Like, we're all there.
We got rights. Yeah.
And like, you know, it was a huge swath of all different kinds of women. Just like a lot of like New York ladies trying to get this done before they like go have a Saturday night. Like, it was just such a great, like, I was like, I'm sure beautiful. That there are people there that had, you know, different feelings about the experience than I did. But like, it's just a lot of
group
people
of
like
York
in
gals.
Leggings on their phone.
Yeah.
Like, it just I'm like, ugh, none of us want to be here, but we're all happy we are.
Did doing the show, doing a show publicly about abortion attract any anti-abortion activists?
Not yet. There hasn't been a ton of press yet. So like part of me is like, that's coming. And like, and I've seen like, you know,
I mean,
like,
what are they going to do?
Yeah. It's there. So there's one thing that I do know happened. So some guy.
It's always a fucking guy. Calls himself you don't have a womb. Why? 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 Stop.
Calls himself a playwright.
That's just such a funny way to introduce that.
Some guy who calls himself a playwright. It's like, so, because I have like a Google alert for the show and everything like that just to like see if anything pops about it. And I got this like Fox News thing and I was like, oh no. some guy like saw that my show was like existed. Or was coming. And so he wrote. Also, he apparently paid for tickets and came on the first night.
Nice.
Didn't do anything, but like he came.
Okay.
So it's like, you've already paid into this, buddy. Mm-hmm. Right. He wrote a play that's supposed to go up for a week.
Is it a response piece?
It is. It's so my show is called Oh God, a show about abortion.
Mm-hmm.
His show was called Oh Gosnell, the truth about abortion. Gosnell is the name of a doctor who was doing some pretty like... not good. I don't really actually know much about the story, but a doctor who was like arrested, I believe, for like
you should buy tickets to his
for
show.
The abortion practices that he was doing, which are not the norm. Like he was like,
right.
It was obviously very fucked up, and like, of course, there's always going to be like people within any thing that are going to be
that ruin it.
Yeah, ruin it,
ruin the fun for the rest.
So
of
I
us.
Guess he was like doing this show that was he had written this show that was a lot of just transcripts from the court proceedings of this guy's like. Trial.
Wow, what a playwright. What a talented playwright.
You really wrote something here.
Fucking thief.
Select all, copy, paste. But I guess it was like, it's so, like, it's the court proceedings for like a pretty brutal case. And so.
Yowza.
It's super
graphic.
Now I kind
of want to see this.
What did he do? Like, what did that doctor do? Like, was he giving botched abortions on purpose?
He was fisting ladies and going and taking their head.
Let me take it out with my hand. That's the third option they don't tell you about.
The abortions were not the problem. It was like. The way that the fetuses were being discarded was like very not what any
how
pro-choice
was they being
people.
Discarded?
I refused to read about it. I know it involved like
Splish
some
splash.
Really
sorry,
some really gross and horrific things. But again, it's like we're talking about fetuses. Like, what, who cares?
Yeah.
I should. That sounds terrible. But like, you know what I mean. It's like I think the women were fine.
Yeah.
So that's the most important.
That's the more.
The fetuses are going to have a bad day no matter what.
Exactly. It's a fucking abortion, okay?
It's
so, like,
not
who cares
go well
what happens
for the fetus. Yeah.
After.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so this guy, like, he wrote a play, in quotes, that uses the transcripts from the court case, and they're so graphic because it's a court case and they're going through, like, what
we
happened.
We gotta go to this play, Corinne.
So the theater shut it down.
Oh,
because
damn.
He didn't provide them with the script until, like, the day before, and they were like, it is like not okay for anyone in our theater to have to hear this. And like also like this puts our staff in jeopardy. So they shut down the play. And now he's claiming that like because my
freedom
show exists and he's like safety is the new censorship. And it's like this whole thing. And I'm like, keep going, buddy. Keep going. Do something
he's
crazy.
He's digging his own grave,
man. But it's
like
he paid for tickets to my show.
Right. He doesn't realize he's in his own way so hard.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
He just is dedicated to being ignorant.
So now like Fox News is like, oh, like this lady can do her abortion show, but like this
sick
guy
press.
Can't do. I'm like, keep talking about it, guys.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, guys.
That's so fucking funny. Oh my
shit,
God.
I'm bummed that the play doesn't exist.
I know. I mean, I guess you could just like look up the court proceedings because it's the same
and
thing.
Just read them.
Just read them.
I want to look up this guy. You guys
I forget what his name is.
Yeah.
Gosnell's the name of the doctor.
The doctor. Then,
but I don't know. The
playwright.
Oh, I'm
sure I'll Google the Fox.
Oh, you'll find it.
Yeah.
You'll find it. And it's so funny.
So for the team, so you have Alana Glazer producing. And so can you talk about like and why you chose the director that you chose, how this team came together?
So it's just like it kind of came together like perfectly. Alana and I are like good pals, and I've like worked with her on a bunch of other things. And when we were putting this together, it's like everybody was like, yeah, you're not like a name. And I was like, really? It's like, of course I'm not. Like, I know that. Like, I'm not like, you know, like I'm not famous. Like, I know I'm not famous, but like you kind of need a name and like somebody to present this in a way that like, you know, Edelman has Birbiglia and Jacqueline had Natasha Lyonne. And like, it kind of is a common practice for these off-Broadway shows to like,
Amy Schumer presents.
Kevin Hart presents. Like, it's that happens a lot in comedy and definitely in off-Broadway. So. But we're friends and she was who I was on tour with when I got pregnant.
Oh, lovely.
I told her after the fact and she was like, why didn't you say something?
I was like, tell me, girl.
Yeah, she was like, I was like, there was a lot going on that bus. Like, I did not want to make it about me. And I just wanted to like lie down and be nauseous by myself, which is what was happening.
Yeah.
So she was like on board from the jump and was like, this is so great. I love this so much. And it's like so fun that she like is a new mom. And I think that there's like a fun element of like her presenting this that does give it some like credibility in that sense of like, it's not just like a bunch of like angry feminists who hate babies. It's like, no, like here's a woman who like just had a baby, but
who values motherhood.
Yes. Who like
for her.
Yes. And like understands like that it's choice. So I think that like frames it really nicely.
Yeah, it does.
And then my director, I originally wanted like, I was like, I want a big fancy comedy name. And it's like, those people were all busy and this is like not enough of a budget to get them to change their plans. Just like whatever, you guys know how it works.
Yeah,
you
sure.
Like go after a bunch of people. Nobody can really do it.
Yep.
And then like my agent was like, I think a theater director is actually what you want. And I was like, it's not a play. Like, I don't know why, you know, what that's for. Like, I don't know the world of theater. I don't even know how to evaluate if someone is good at their job or not as a director because I don't see theater.
Mm-hmm.
I met with like one or two people who were great and so talented, but I was like, this is just like not my vibe, like a little theatery.
I hear you.
Which is just not me. Like, I have no performance background before I did stand up. Like, I have no association with theater or plays or music or anything.
So the theatery vibe is kind of jarring, would be jarring.
Yeah, I was
it's
just
a
like,
lot.
And
yeah,
I was just like, I don't want someone to take, you know, I had written a version of this that like has evolved and it's still kind of 75-80% the same as it was before I got my director. And I was just like, I don't want someone to turn this into like an important, like I'm wearing a beret and smoking in a black box theater, like talking about rights or something.
I am my womb.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, that's in my mind. Like, that's what a
The SNL
solo
sketch
show is.
Of the fucking black box theater kids.
Exactly. I was like, I don't want someone to make it this. And so then when Lila was available, everybody was like, hold on. This woman is never available. She works more than anybody else. She is like the darling of the New York City theater scene. She does like interesting, cool stuff. She's your age. She like lives down the street from me. And I'm like, okay, great. I'm like already on board.
But
we like,
the best?
We like met over Zoom, like just to be like, have a meeting and see like if it kind of like works. And we ended up talking for a half hour, just like off the, before we brought up the show. Cause we just started talking and we're just like in a groove. And then she was like, cards on the table. Like, I just want to do this with you. So you tell me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, no, we're done. Like, this is it.
And when you
she's
know, you
like,
know.
So she's the kind of person who like, she's like, she's not trying to write jokes, but also she wrote a joke for the show that is so good. And I'm like, God damn it. You're good at this.
Cause she's not trying.
She's like, this is the thought. I was like, oh, okay. That's the joke.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Lila. You're so good at this. But like, you know, just being like, oh, we talk about your mom a lot at the end. Maybe we talk about her a little more at the beginning too, so that there's payoff. Here's maybe the kind of picture you want to paint of her. Go off. Like, she does not want to write it for me. She's like, here's what I think would help. And then she's been helping with the performance of it, which like it's stand up, but there's also like these kind of big chunks throughout where it's just like, vulnerability with the audience and like kind of talking through my thought process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she's been amazing. And now I'm like, oh, I never want to not have a director when I do comedy again.
Yeah. Having a director, it makes all the difference. Like I remember like years ago when I did my show, it's like, I always thought of a, and I mean, I literally went to school to be a director. So I obviously like, I have a BFA,
you understand the value
in directing, yes. But even that, so, sometimes you think like I can do it myself. And as, even as someone who has a degree in directing,
yes,
I still need a director all the time.
Totally.
Or most of the time I did direct our special, so didn't have a director.
I mean,
then
incredible. And also congratulations.
But thank you. But like, yeah, when I feel like I wrote a good show and then my director made it a great show.
That's, yeah,
and you don't
exactly.
even see like I think had I presented what I had written and just as sure I'm sure like you could present what you had written and it would have been great. No one would even have known.
No.
But then there's all these little things that they point out and you go, oh wow, because you just need someone else's eyes on it.
Yeah, your brain can't be thinking of every
single
element.
Even watching
a
video of yourself, you can't really, it's not the same.
Yeah, because you look at you judge yourself in a totally unique way that only you will judge yourself for. And it's usually harsher than how other people judge you.
Absolutely.
A lot of times.
That's so great. I love that. And I just like love that so many women were involved in it. And
it's like my producers who like are like the producers of the show who like got us to Cherry Lane, like it's a woman and a man, but he's like amazing, no ego. And then everybody else is a woman or a non-binary person, and it's awesome. And the energy, like everybody's also like in their like 30s and early 40s and like
awesome.
Like everybody like has the same interest. So like I get to the theater and everybody's like, they're like, should we get fancy lemonades from Jack's wife? And I'm like, yes. Like,
yes.
Just like everybody's like on the same page. Like,
it's like we're adult kids.
True. I'm like, I'm specific about snacks. And they were like, us too. Tell us what you need. Like, just very cool.
Wow.
I love this. I'm so excited to see it. And so, yeah, promote away.
Where can we get tickets? Yes.
The show is called Oh God, a show about abortion. You can get tickets at ohgodshow.com. We're still in pre, I don't know when this comes out. We're in previews through, I think, at least the 5th. Maybe the 9th. So $25 tickets with discount code Allison. It runs through June 4th. It's every night at 7 p.m. And then also Thursday and also Saturdays at 3. And come see it.
Yeah. Yay! And we'll share all the details in the description of this episode. It's Allison with one L.
Yes.
If you're using that discount code. I think this is going to come out. We're going to push this out as soon as possible. So
cool,
I think not this
rush.
Friday, next Friday.
Fabulous. Love it.
Thank you so much for sitting down and sharing your story with us. And
thank
it's always
you.
Delightful to talk
I
to
mean,
you.
I mean, love seeing you gals. Glad that we finally got to do this over like the best topic there is.
Yes. And in person and in the studio, which we haven't had that long. So
I love it here.
Thanks.
This is great.
Thank you.
This has been Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday. Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary.
Created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson.
Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares?
Too much rejection causing you to have fear. You might have heartbreak and struggle, and you might shed some tears. But that's how you know that your blessing is near. So don't you ever give up. No, never, never, never. Never, 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 never give up. Oh, I'll never give up. No, never, never, never. Never, 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 never give up. This year alone I had so many lessons. I questioned myself about the promise you made to me. Wanting to heaven. Whole had me making decisions that just don't reflect the person you call me to be. So I did some soul searching and looked in the mirror. I got myself together and turned my life back on.
Never, 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 never give up.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.